an AppleViz original. Guess what I got working, Mike? You ready?
Yes.
Hello, Mike.
Ooh, hey, you got it.
I got it working finally.
He likes, he's so mean to that keyboard. He's like mashing it. There he goes. You can hear him mashing on it. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, that was.
That poor keyboard.
I love
it. But this is my favorite. I'm going to talk like this through the whole podcast, if that's okay with you.
You could just call it the Helium Edition and not.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining in AppleViz Unleashed for August 2020. My name is Thomas Donville. I also go by the name of Not a Mouse. And along with me, we got Mike Malarcy. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here again.
I know. It's almost September. Can you believe it? Like the school year is like, you know what? You're probably looking forward to school for your kids.
Yes. And they just as much as I am, because like my eldest is 11 now and she's like, I can't wait to get out of this house. It's been a challenge for everybody. So we're looking forward to it.
And on the other side, we have Randy Rusnak. How you doing, Randy?
Well, just fine now.
You're having a long day, Randy.
No, but setting up a new computer, and we all know how that can be sometimes.
A brand new computer, as in you bought yourself a new computer?
Yeah, my computer crashed on me and for the third time, and I went, that's enough.
Yeah, what'd you get yourself?
It's an HP, like it's an Elite model.
It's
very thin. It's got a digital drive on it. It's a really neat machine. It's got stereo mics, but I'd rather use an external mic. Full-size keyboards, 15-inch model. It's supposed to run 12 hours on a charge, so we'll see.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome to have a new computer. That's, you know, I love that. I got a new computer about a month ago myself, too. So,
what'd you get?
I got a lot of people don't like the Acer, which is been known to have cheap kind of a computer, but I got the high-end Acer. I thought the value for it was absolutely fantastic. I love the machine. It is fast. It's got an i7 10th generation quad core.
Yeah, same with this one.
And so it's fast, and it's got the SSD, of course, and then 12 gig of RAM, so I was pretty happy with it. But nonetheless, welcome aboard. Thank you for coming on for another month. And
welcome.
Hey, guys, we got a special guest here. And to our listeners out there, people probably know the club AppleViz is a club where you can donate a minimum nominal amount per month to help out AppleViz to keep afloat and keep the lights on and get the things that we need.
And did she win us?
And I have randomly selected our Anna Dresner. How are you, Anna?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. And how is your month doing along with August as well?
I'm doing well. It's really nice to be here.
Hi, Anna. I've heard of you. You write stuff.
That's right.
Working on an iOS 14 What's New book right now.
Cool. Really glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Good for you, Anna. That is going to be coming. I think that'll come in handy with all the new features that we're going to see in iOS 14. There's a lot of little things in there that people are going to have no clue how to do things. And it's one of those, the books are definitely going to help you out.
Well, thanks. I hope so.
Well, guys, you know, with August, we had the fiscal third quarter Apple revenue report. And as we mentioned last month, we had no idea what to expect because they would not give us any indicator how well or kind of a target number they would get at. So the average was $51.4 billion by estimators or people out there that guesstimate on how much the income revenue would come in for the quarter. So Apple just blew that out of the water with $59.7 billion. That is way over their prediction. I think last year they only made $54 billion. I'm, you know, I like when I say that, only made $54 billion, right, guys?
Yeah, oh, if only. I wish I only had that much money.
But to make 59 on the slowest quarter of the month and a middle of a COVID pandemic that we are in, a lot of businesses are suffering except for Apple, which it just shows you the resilience of Apple. But it makes sense now that we were breaking down the numbers. Of course, they were talking about how they had strong demands for the iPhone SE. So that actually boosted the iPhone number. So instead of kept falling, it actually went up. And I think that's the first time I've seen numbers for iPhone go up in a long time, if not over a year. Of course, COVID is also impacting schools and how we interact at home for work and things like that. So demands for everything was double digit. Like the iPads were over 20%. It was like 31% over from last year iPad sales. And I about fell on the floor on this one. The Mac sales was 21% over. Now, we have always reported it was flat. And so Mac did super well. And of course, the AirPods and the Apple Watch was 16% over. But guess what, Mike?
If you say something about emojis.
Emojis? Well, kind of, sort of, not really.
Oh, good.
They made over the $2 trillion mark. Remember the prediction that we both made?
Yep.
And boom, they made the $2 trillion. So I that bold prediction of mine did come through. I was surprised, but they are now the largest global company in the world when it comes to, I think they outpaced Ramco. I think Ramco was the largest worldwide. Now they just kind of blew past that. You want to make a prediction for $3 trillion? Next year? Let's say the end of next year.
You think it'll be that quick?
I think they're on the way to $2.5 trillion in 6 months, yes.
Unless we start seeing a trend with, I don't know, companies that maybe make games like Fortnite.
Uh-huh. You're thinking the same thing. If that kind of competitive comes in, which we will get to, that will nail Apple stock. It will just drop like
That'll definitely hurt the bottom line. But $2 trillion, that's more than most countries. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of money.
And what do you think of that, Anna? You think the $2 trillion is something that they will just keep going up, or you think that will probably deflate at some point?
I would think, given the Fortnite stuff we were talking about, that could be an issue. Also, I mean, once you've bought your iPad and your Mac so you can do your work at home, you're not going to be buying another one anytime soon. And if a lot of people bought the SEs, which, you know, was a good call for them to make a really high quality phone that's cheaper than a lot of their phones. So then when the new ones come out this fall, like, the people who just bought SEs aren't going to buy them. So I kind of wonder if, to some degree, if some of this is kind of, you know, people getting what they needed because of demand, and then some of those conditions kind of dropping off. So yeah, I would think it would probably go down a bit later on.
Yeah, I have no doubt. And I think the numbers for the iPad and the Mac and the AirPod that I mentioned will go down. It's not going to be that huge. 30%, 20%, and 16% is really... But you got to remember, this is third quarter, and that's extremely unusual. So bravo to Apple for making great decisions when to release things. And I think that definitely... And Mr. Randy, are you still going to get your SE, or are you still holding out?
Still holding out.
Still holding out? Yeah. You want to see the iPhone 12 first?
I do.
Okay. Well, we'll discuss about some i12 stuff that I want to talk with you guys, because it really it throws a wrench into my plan. So I'll see if that
really
does to you. Yeah, it really does. So we'll get to that.
This is what we call a teaser. Just tease the audience.
Exactly. You got to listen for more. How about that?
Okay. I wasn't going to buy a phone this summer, and then I needed to for this book because I had a 10, which didn't have voice recognition.
Oh, sure.
I mean, screen recognition. So.
Do you love your phone then?
I'm pleased with it. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nice having a home button again, I have to say. And the thing I always loved about the haptic home button is that you can tell when it's actually off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is one thing I do miss. I have to admit, I do miss a touch button. I really like that feature, but I find the flicking up on the newer, you get used to it. It just doesn't seem as easy as a touch still.
Oh, you get used to it for sure. I used a 10 for a couple of years and it's fine, but it's kind of, it's
what
kind
you get of, used to.
But going back to it, it was kind of like, oh yeah, I remember why I liked this.
Now, speaking of boosting Apple services, now Apple decided to release something early, not the Apple One bundle, which I'll mention in a minute, but the Apple bundle now. They revealed a $9.99 special for those that are on Apple TV already for CBS All Access and Showtime, which is a 50% less offer. Meaning, if you want to buy Apple TV, CBS All Access, and Showtime, it'll be $14.99. I thought that was an awesome deal. I like the CBS All Access myself, so I was kind of like, that's kind of a tempting offer. But I already, they gave me the free Apple TV Plus already, so I'm kind of going back and forth. I don't know about the Showtime. I know that Mike and Randy do not have Apple TV Plus. Is that, I want to make sure, that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Correct.
And what about you, Anna?
No, I'll probably sign up for it either right before the end of the 90 days where you can sign up for it, or if someone in the family decides they really want to watch something on Apple TV Plus, kind of whichever one comes first.
Does that come free with the SE 2020?
Yes.
Awesome.
You got to sign up in the first 90 days. So I haven't.
I think you're still typing it
there, right, Will?
You have to. You know, you should.
Well, sure. If you get it for free. But I don't see any reason. You know, wait till if there's something we want to watch, I'll do it then. Because, of course, that'll make it stretch it out a little longer.
What about you two, Mike and Randy? Do you guys even try CBS All Access or even Showtime?
I have friends of mine that have used it, and they let me hear some of the content, over my phone. And I still like Netflix.
Well, I mean, I'm with you, Randy. I love Netflix a lot, so I'm not sure if I would use Showtime. And I'm not sure how the audio description is on that. The CBS All Access is somewhat good about audio description and not so good on a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mixed bags. And I probably, Mike, since you don't really have internet, you probably won't get any of them, will you?
Yeah, that's kind of my biggest issues. Like, part of me is curious just to see what it's like, see if there is something in there that I would like actually enjoy. But yeah, internet is just kind of an issue.
Yeah.
In Mike's case, it's the internet with a question mark.
Internet? Well, yeah. Got to have internet.
Yeah, that's my big problem. Randy, I was telling him earlier, though, there was a fiber optic truck driving around on the dirt road out there the other day. So
yeah,
we're crossing our fingers. But
did you ask?
No, I wasn't about to go chase him down the mountain. No, but I do intend on calling that company to figure out what's happening.
That'd be awesome.
You should chase down him. Go get him.
If that happened, I'd move in with you guys for the quiet. Still have to have my internet.
So yeah, this bundle I thought was a great start on their part. Apple, of course, there is rumors that they're going to be talking about the Apple One, which should be discussed in the keynote. That will bundle packages for Apple services. And what I'm hearing is that there's three tiers. This is interesting how the tiers work. So you have the basic tier, which is Apple TV Plus and Apple Music. And so that's your basic model. And so the medium tier, you get Apple TV Plus, Apple Music, and you'll get the Apple Arcade. I was like, oh yeah, that's going to really make us all excited. But those two tiers, I was kind of surprised, and we'll see if this is true or not. You're really maybe going to save somewhere between $2 and $5 a month. Now, I suppose if you happen to pay both for Apple Music and Apple TV already, I'll take any savings. So I think that might come in handy, especially if my Apple TV Plus subscription ends up this fall, I might take that offer up if it's reasonable. It will just depends what the cost is for that. I think, isn't it $10 for Apple Music and $5 for Apple TV?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm pretty sure 15 for the family Apple Music plan, because that's what we've got.
15 for the family?
I think so.
So I'm thinking maybe $12.99.
Yeah, if I had internet and could pay a couple more bucks and get the TV too, why not?
I thought it looked kind of interesting.
Depending on, you know, what's there.
And then, of course, it'll have the premium tier that has all what I mentioned, plus the Apple News Plus, which, yeah, again, I don't know how that's going to appeal to the blind comedian unless you already subscribed to all that. All that is, I think if you add them all up, it's like $49. And I'm hearing that the premium tier will be $39. So it'll be $10 off. So you'll save a few bucks. It'll be interesting how, if that comes true or not. Some people are saying that it will include extra iCloud storage. So as a bonus on the premium, you'll get more storage for your iCloud. And they're talking about a possible physical audio training streaming courses. So you will have these exercise, yoga, and things like that along with it. So just kind of like entice the people with Apple Watch and things like that. It'll be interesting to see all that. I am not going to get all the premium. That's for darn sure. But probably if I have to do the basic tier at least. What about you, Anna and Randy?
I'm not using any of those right now, so probably not. And it's good to have the option, certainly. It'd be good if they had a couple of choices, because for people who maybe like the news and aren't interested in the arcade or something, it'd be kind of cool. But
yeah, I don't think I would get it. I'm resilient.
Well, I know you have Spotify, right, Randy?
I still have it, yeah.
Yeah, so you love that. So there'd be no reason why you would go to Apple Music.
No, I really do. Yep, I like it a lot. I'm on the family account, and we use it here a lot. So,
well, and top of that, think about it. If you do end up getting a new SC, or I've heard a little rumblings that if you get Apple's thinking about extending the Apple TV Plus offer for new devices like iPhone 12, so you would get that for free anyway. So, are you using Spotify then, Anna, or anything like that?
No, I've kind of stayed away from the streaming services because I'm afraid I'll end up buying even more music than I already do.
I get that. And on to something that I think that is going to be a big, sticky, hot mess is Apple seemed to find themselves in hot waters again with not only EU and the US, but now South Korea is starting to kind of look into the anti-competitiveness of Apple. And of course, if you are aware that a lot of people have been talking about is the Fortnite being banned by Apple. Let me explain. Fortnite is a game. It is a hot game. It is a game that a lot of kids and young adults love to play, and has been on iOS for eons. But what has happened here is that they decided to insert a direct payment into their iOS, which is a no-no to, according to Apple App Store policy, which means Apple wants a 30% cut no matter subscription or price of the app. But Epic says, well, you know what? I don't want that. I want our people to save more money. And they try to put this in, sneak it in, and Apple says, nope. And they banned them right off, and it's still banned to this day. Tell me if that isn't a hot mess. I want to hear all three of you what your views are and why, or what do you think about this competitiveness? Do you think this is fair, unfair, or what? What do you think?
30% is kind of a lot, especially when what was the number? The 250 million downloads on iOS alone, because it's off Google Play too. Like, that lawsuit is still pending. The Apple one is happening now. That's a ton of money. And when you're sitting there talking about your $2 trillion goal that you just hit, like, that already is going to put a target on your head. But then when other companies, and I'm sure, I think there was a number in the article, 400, there was millions of dollars that Epic has already made, even with paying 30%. But I think that's why Apple keeps getting into trouble, because these other companies are like, hey, we'd love a share of that $2 trillion that you guys have. But Apple's like, no. And they have, Apple controls the market. Like, there's two options. And if you're not on one of those two options, you either have to play ball or you're out completely. So, I mean, could they not work around it, though? Because it's all for virtual bucks that you can then buy stuff in the game. Could Epic not have just put that on their website? You go to the website, buy the virtual bucks, and then you log in on your phone. There they are. Couldn't they just do that? Because Audible used to do like that, too.
Well, Netflix does that. It's that you go online, you subscribe to Netflix, and you come back on your iOS, and then you circumvent the whole 30% cut.
Yeah. So that, I wonder what Epic was thinking by starting this fight, other than we want some of that $2 trillion. Because they could, it seems way easier to just be like, hey, just buy your virtual bucks over here. Like, put a link in your app to go to a webpage, buy it, come back, you're good to go.
I'll put that. Yeah, seems like it was a pretty deliberate provocation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I agree.
So you think, Anna, that they intentionally do that just to try make a point to Apple and to the world, or what do you think?
Well, I think so, especially since they were saying they didn't want money. They just wanted a change in the terms, which of course would mean money. And I don't know what the fair amount is. I mean, I think when they were saying, well, PayPal doesn't, you know, only charges 0.5% or something. Well, I don't think that's a fair comparison, because the Apple Store offers them a lot in terms of recognition and support and all of that. 30% does seem high. So it seems like they should be able to work out some number somewhere in the middle, but I don't really know what's fair in terms of what they actually need in terms of, you know, the server space and the support and the recognition that they get from being on the App Store. I'd love to see a value that people could agree on a little bit more, so that it would be possible to buy books from Kindle in the App Store. You know, they've taken that out, so they don't have to pay their cut. And as a result, like, I was trying to help my mother learn how to buy books on her iPad. And basically I told her she needed to do it through Apple, because she's not technologically inclined. So going to two separate sites instead of one is just way harder. So I'd love to see them come up with something that's lower, so that more people would do some of their stuff through the store.
Mm-hmm. Well, and would you, is that the same thoughts you have, Randy?
Yeah, exactly right. But they're Apple. They kind of call the shots as far as they're concerned. So people are saying, no, we're not doing it.
So you think they should reduce the price too?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Especially for like small time developers who are trying to make a living off of some like little app that only has maybe a few hundred or a few thousand downloads. Like, that 30%, it means a lot more to somebody like that than it does to Epic.
Well, according to the judge, they went to court on this. So it's kind of a pre-course kind of thing, just to kind of say what they can do and what they can't do right now. So the judge pretty much told Epic to say, you know what, you signed a contract with Apple to the App Store contract. So you pretty much put yourself in this spot, and it is something you can undo very easily. Just go undo that to the last version, and then you'll be back in the store. Now, Mike, you were saying how much money. So here's my two cents on this, is that I agree with all of you. I think 30% is just a little obsessive, but that is pretty much the market value norm, because it's not just Apple. It's also Google. They take 30% cut. If you're on an Xbox, PlayStation as well, they also take cuts, as long with Nintendo. And what I understand, the 30% cut seems to be pretty normal everywhere. So it's not just like Epic is avoiding this in any other platform. Now, Android, of course, they can sideload it, and so they can get bypassed the Google Play Store. I still think the App Store is essential for our privacy and security. I don't think I would like to see to the point where people ban the Apple Store or allow sideload. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that. I think a lot of people say, I would love to have the sideload, which means that you can get apps and stuff outside of the App Store. And
they're calling you right now, Tom. Did you notice
that? I know. I can just feel it. The emails are climbing right now.
It's been,
but they actually jailbreak all the time for that very reason.
True, but this will allow you not to have the jailbreak. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my understanding, they make $2.5 million a day on iOS. So I think they're picking on Apple because that's where the cash cow is.
Yeah, that exactly.
This is where they're making most money, and that's why they're picking on Apple. And it's kind of funny, you know, everybody else is like push them off the stores as well, but they're not talking about them. Why? Because they don't make that much money off them. They're making $2.5 million a day on iOS. But do you think about it? I think that is, boy, that's 30% cut of that goes to Apple. Wow. I think that's obsessive. I think when it comes to subscription, I don't think Apple should get a cut, very low percentage. I think we should do 30% cut on fixed prices, but not on subscription. That's just my thoughts.
But isn't Fortnite free, the original game?
It is free. That's the thing. And so
if they didn't take any cut on subscriptions, then they wouldn't make any money on it, which doesn't seem really.
Well, they're making the money off, like Mike says, is all this stuff that you can buy within the Fortnite. That's where the ludicrous money starts to come in.
Yeah. Before we moved, my son figured out how to do that on our Xbox, and I woke up one morning and like checked my email, and there's a $300 charge for a V-Bucks.
Oh my goodness.
Like, what are you doing? He's like, but look at these new skins I got. I'm like, dude, stop. You can't no. Don't do that. It's like, that's how it works. Is you give them money and you can change what your little players look like and get different guns, I guess. And it's
so just, what did you do? Did you resolve aesthetic. It in some manner, Mike?
Once he hit like 500, the Xbox went away.
Wow. I don't know
if they're still there or not.
Oh my God. Oh,
that hurts, Mike.
Yeah.
That's painful just thinking about that. But yeah, it's ludicrous, Anna. They make crazy money off of skins and stuff like that. It's amazing how much they charge for just to look different. It's like, wow, really? But it's a very popular game. But, you know, we mentioned a little earlier, though, the three of us, is that I think if for some reason EU and the US and South Korea or somebody start to say, no, this app store is anti-competitive, then it will definitely kill Apple. I think it's not going to just kill Apple, but it's going to also affect all other folks out there, Google Play, PlayStation, Sony, all those guys. Microsoft is all going to take the hit too, but Apple's going to feel it the most, I think. So that kind of a sticky situation, that was one of the hot buttons for this month. We'll get to the other really, really hot button in a moment, but and now the Apple has released iOS 13.6.1, and I'm guessing all of you are on that. Now, Anna, you're on beta, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you're on the 14 beta?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the other two, I think we discussed about this. Did you ever get updated, Mike?
Not yet. I just had to tell it no again today.
Still,
I haven't either. Me too, because there was some issue with VoiceOver, and I don't remember what the issue was.
Well, it doesn't matter. There was no VoiceOver fixes. There were problems in 13.6 VoiceOver, but nothing was resolved in 13.6.1. So,
I haven't.
Mm-hmm. However, 13.7 beta is now out, which I was like, wow, they're coming out with a new major release. It's 13.7. I imagine that will be coming rolling out right about, oh gosh, if I had to guess, probably the end of September, early October.
And what are your thoughts on that?
It's exclusively on that tracking mechanism for COVID, mm-hmm. Which is pretty much what it is. I think they're putting some finalized API in there. And, you know, I get a lot of fake news on this. I want to let people know, yes, they're putting this COVID tracking API within your iOS 13 and 14 soon to be out. But this only allows third parties to tap into API. So it doesn't mean that you're being tracked automatically. No, you got to download an app that will allow you to do COVID tracking, whether it's from a state or a country that you're in, before it tracks. I couldn't believe how many my mom and my mom's friend were telling me, they're tracking you, you need to go turn it off. And it's like, no, they're not tracking you. You got it. So That's 13.7 is what it's going to do. I'd be surprised if there were any voiceover fix. I would be very surprised. There might be, but if I had to put my coffee beans on it, I would say 80% chance no. Now for the big hot button. This is probably the biggest hot button. You thought the Epic War with Apple was big. Oh my gosh. Oh my glob, people. This is huge. If you haven't been to Apple Vision, you haven't heard about this debacle, I'm going to get to say on all three of you, I'm really anxious to hear what you guys think. So we are currently in beta for iOS 14, and so are the Apple OS, or I'm sorry, the Watch OS 7, which I have been on. And I've been on beta 1, 2, and 3, and everything is great. There really isn't much to report at all. I mean, it's great. There's nothing to say. There's no bugs or anything. However, the first public, which is beyond the developer, this is public that allows the public people to have access to the Watch OS beta 4. But within the release note of OS 4 or OS 7 beta 4 is that voiceover is not enabled. It is turned off. And that stirred a wildfire, I think, was bigger than the California wildfire that we have right now. We had petitions going up. We had people on both sides of the aisle at each other. And it was just absolutely mayhem. Obviously, this is almost a mute point because beta 5 and beta 6 has now been released and they both have voiceover back on it. So let me start with Anna. I am curious what your view on this debacle of Apple, if this was a big deal or not a big deal. What do you think?
Well, I mean, personally, it was kind of a big deal because I installed the beta that killed VoiceOver. I had looked for release notes in the feedback app, and they weren't there. And I thought, they never break any. You know, there's never anything that major, and I installed it. And I sort of figured, well, you know, it's a developer beta. Those, you know, you pays your money, you takes your chances, you know. But I did agree with that the public beta, they really should have waited until they had VoiceOver back on the watch, because it is a small window of time when people using the public beta can report bugs, and accessibility bugs a lot of times aren't fixed in the first release of iOS or watchOS. And so maximizing the amount of time that the most people have access to the betas is a really good thing. So the fact that the first beta came out and wasn't VoiceOver accessible means that's even less time for blind people using the public betas to be able to test them out and report bugs is a problem. And I think that, I did sign the petition saying that public betas need to be accessible. And I think that's true.
I felt bad. I feel terrible that there were quite a few people that did download it only to brick their phone for 2 weeks or their watch. Not so much brick, but just, you know, you just were not able to use it at all.
To us, it would be bricked.
I had Taptic Time, so I could tell what the time was because that is a VoiceOver feature, and Siri will talk. You know, so I could do some stuff, but then getting off of that beta was just nuts. It took me, I ended up the first day I tried to do it, it didn't work. I had to leave it on the charger for like a day and a half because for some reason it just did not want to install that. And so that was a drag as well. But at least thank goodness the next update was fine. The watch is working fine. And it's so exciting to have the rotor on there and Braille.
Did that scare you when your phone, when your watch was half bricked, when you couldn't get it installed?
Yeah, I mean, that was really frustrating. And then I went to the website and found the release notes, which is what I should have done when they didn't show up in the feedback app. And it was mm-hmm. right at the top of them. So at least anybody who read the release notes would know immediately. I just don't know why there was a delay in the release notes showing up in the feedback app, because if they had been there, I would have seen them and, you know, save myself a lot.
Yeah, you rightfully so. You got that on the head. I also want to recommend to people, a lot of people are asking, oh, I didn't see it. Honestly, when you go to the update page, your software update page, it says what's new in this release. There's a link, and that is right on the same page at the very bottom where you can download and install, whether you want to iOS or your Apple OS 7. In this case, read those notes, because that is a release note. So you can go see that before you decide to download and install what news or notes you should know. So tap on that. We've gotten you to the same area as well.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's true. So what do you think, Randy?
Yeah, I hate to say I agree on everything, but I do. I agree that we should have been forewarned and it shouldn't have got released. One thing that makes me a little upset. Do you remember the iOS update when millions of people literally had their phones bricked? I don't
know. Yeah, what was it? iOS 6 or iOS 8?
Yeah, it's like 6, I think. But I was the ones that got hit hard. And I was tweeting with somebody and said, oh, man, my phone has just been bricked. And somebody tweeted back and said, no, it hasn't. No, you'll be all right.
Can you blame Apple? If they gave you a heads up, they did warn in the release note.
Right. Yep. But anyway, my phone was bricked and I couldn't use it. I had to go into recovery mode and it was a real mess. But mm-hmm. I tweeted back to the individual. I got no speech. I got no nothing. To me, that's bricked. You know?
Yeah.
It was not doing anything for me. So.
But that was a regular release though. Now, yeah. Knowing that beta, you come in with the risk factor, is that something that would deter or make you feel a little different?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, would you agree that it is a risk that you take, or do you think there's more the stance on, no, regardless, they should have never done this, period, risk or not?
Yeah, I would go with that. I don't think you should have ever released it.
What about you, Mr. Mike?
I think, like, kind of like with the Epic thing, like on paper, they did technically warn everybody, but it's still just kind of a disingenuous thing to do in the first place. Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't know that accessibility is a thing. They have no problem tweeting and posting all over the websites about how accessible and wonderful and inclusive they are, but then they do that. And it just seems, I wonder what the reasoning was, like who made that decision and why. It just seems kind of a shady thing to do, especially a public beta when they know that there's a lot of people who are just curious and just want to know and then get it. But I guess at the same time, it is also a lesson to all of us. Like, it might be a good habit to develop to read the fine print, which nobody does.
Nobody
including
does.
Myself, I say that.
But I mean, I can say for all of us and the listeners.
How many times, terms of service, when you're installing something, how many times do the terms of service
pop? We go straight to the accept button, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing.
All the time.
We'll go straight to the download install.
Well, and there hasn't been a bug in years that totally destroyed VoiceOver. I mean,
yes.
The last time that happened, I don't know, iOS 5 or 6 or something. So you kind of know that wacky things can happen, but that's definitely a level of wackiness that you don't expect.
Yeah, that would be like releasing an update and then suddenly nobody's phones can connect to the cell phone towers. Like it's a big deal. It just affects a smaller community, which is why I think, like if it happened to everyone, then people would be way more upset. But it's kind of one of those things like, oh, it's just this small community. We'll get it in 2 weeks. We'll take care of it. Sorry, whoops. Just kind of brush it off. And like that to me, like again, is just kind of the whole disingenuous thing where they just did this thing and it's back and it's fixed, but this should not have happened in the first place.
I think we'll never know. We will never know why Apple did that and what was the decision behind it. I just, Apple's never for one to reveal that kind of information unless they're under pressure by like massively, but we aren't that big of enough to warrant a press release on it or something like that, which is unfortunate. But so my view on it, you know, when I first heard about it, I said, man, they did tell you about it. It wasn't a release note. I get no, a lot of people didn't read it. And then my thoughts were, well, it is beta. It is going to be buggy. It may not work and it's your risk. However, now listen to everybody's side of things. I tend to have to agree a little bit on this, is that I think they should have held off a public release until VoiceOver was fixed. However, I don't think that would made any difference, because even the developers would still have this issue. Now, it probably wouldn't affect as many people as the public one, which is another thought of it. I think what happened, I think something came up. I think there was a quality assurance test at the very last minute, checking, make sure everything works, and something significant happened, or they were in the middle of something they were not done. They had to disable the feature. I think that's what happened. Now, I don't think it should have ever been gone to the QA knowing that it's going to be that bad. And I think the petition, I see it one way. I get that we want Apple to know that this should never happen again. It really shouldn't. If it's not working, please fix it before you release it, even though it is beta. And I get that. I do understand that. However, I think the petition is just a little heavy-handed, and I don't. I think it would have just been just the same if we had all just said, hey, could you please let us know, or don't do this again, please. I'm just not a petition fan. I think that only the reason I say that, we used to have AppleViz campaign of the month. Do you guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the backlash we had with it, on the foreside on paper, it was great. It was able to tell the developers we had trouble. We want accessibility fixed, or make it work on this app. What was happening was that we got a few developers that got so angry and so mad because there were so many complaints, and the tone that the blind community had on the developers. We had developers leave audio games that were totally accessible, and we got them so mad that they left, and they're not going to make any more games for us at all. So you got to keep that in tone. You got to keep that tone in check. And I think a petition kind of gets a little heavy. And I know the person that was doing the petition, that it was not his intent, and I get that. But the people that were signing the petition and some of the comments, they were, oh my gosh, the tone and the inflammatory stuff. It's just
okay. I remember that,
because I didn't read the comments. I thought the petition itself was perfectly reasonable and explained
right
why.
The petition was right, but the people on it, they took it like we're going to do a riot and pitchforks and fire. And that really turns me off.
Yeah.
That turns
me off. That's not necessary. And it's hasn't been the same since.
Yeah. So you see where I am on the fence on this. So I see both ways, but I don't want Apple ever to do that again either. So that's, I'm glad that we all kind of see on the same side, which I think a majority of the listeners will too. Mm-hmm. I just ask for those blind community out there to please refrain your harsh tones and stuff. And when you do feedback on stuff, because we are losing developers because of this, and it is a proven fact. So if we want to complain about where are the games, I have nobody but to point at you.
I think it's important to assume that in most cases, people really do want to do the right thing and are interested in having, and especially, I mean, a developer that in a lot of cases is a small thing, and I mean a small group that are using it. And so they want more people to participate. And, you know, you're basically on the same side. They just don't know, with a developer in particular, you know, they just may not know about it, in which case it's, you know, it's really important to be enthusiastic and encouraging and let people know when they're doing it right, because usually they'll come around and they'll want to make it work.
I was going to say something kind of along like that. Like, you rarely see the kind of passion when people are doing a good job as you do when people screw something up. People are very quick to be angry. And this is not just a blind community thing. This is kind of people in general. If you mess up, people are going to come after you. But if you do it right, people just stay quiet. Mm. Like, that I feel like is kind of backwards. Like, we should maybe try to do positive things.
Of course.
And try to encourage people to do that. Because right. If I was a developer and people were attacking me like, this button's not labeled, I'm like, you know what? I'm done with all of you. Get out of here.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
yeah.
argue with you. I've got kids to argue with. I'm not going to argue with you guys. I'm sorry. My app was not exactly what you wanted. Like, and I'm all for like, there's a way to have a constructive conversation and make change. And there's yeah. a way to just be a jerk.
Yeah.
At work, we are using a phone service, like a soft phone service on iOS. And some of the buttons aren't labeled. And we're really nice about it. And so are they. They're trying their best to fix everything for the blind community that does work with us. And it's all good. They're all doing their best to get it fixed. But I mean, if I were to go on and just like bash them for inaccessibility, they wouldn't even speak to us, you know? So I know how it is.
It is. Yeah. And it can be toxic. And that's a shame about coming to Applebee's sometimes. And I even want to have to say, I'm even part of the member on there, and it's just sad to see the toxicity of some people. Yeah. And it's just a crying shame. But, you know, on to happier things. Let's talk about happy things. I thought this would interest all of us. Now, you know, September is usually the month where all the planets start to align when it comes to news and all the leaks and stuff. And this is pretty much when it gets hammered down, and we're going to have a pretty darn good idea what's going to happen. So I think this is what's going to happen. I agree with this article 100%. Because the leaks are pretty much accurate at this point, we are going to have a staggered release. So here is what I think is going to happen myself. So September is coming around. This is normally when we have the Apple keynote and we get all the cool stuff. We get to hear all the new phones and watches and all those cool gadgets that we can't wait for. I think it's because of COVID, everything is dramatically going to change. So I think this is how it's going to work, is that for the month of September, they are talking about Apple Watch Series 6 and the iPad, not the iPad Pro, but the iPad, are going to come out in the middle of September. And it's not going to have a keynote. It's just going to be press releases. Not a whole lot new. I heard about the iPad, which I thought was really cool, guys. I'm really excited about this, and I hope it comes to the phone someday, not on iPhone 12, but maybe next year's model, that the side button where you turn on your device is now going to be the Touch ID button on the iPad. That is so cool. We talked about that. And I think the Apple Watch, all it's going to introduce is the blood oxidation level. That means,
oh yeah,
I think that can be kind of big if you're into that. If you're watching for asthma and things like that, to see what your blood oxygen level is, that can be important. So I think those are the two things we're going to see. Now, as for the actual keynote, I really don't think until we're going to see until October for the actual keynote. And that's going to be targeted around mid-October, meaning at that point, they will reveal the new iPhone 12s. And yes, what we talked about the previous 2-3 months, everything we discussed in iPhone 12 is still the thing. We're going to still have the four models, the two babies on the iPhone 12 and the two premium tier. So there can be four different models still. And they even show some leaks of picture. Have four camera lenses on the back of the Pro models, which because the fourth one is your LiDAR, which we talked about. Now, here's the sad part, is that even though the keynote's out, the basic two models, the iPhone 12 and the iPhone 12 Plus, which is the max size, what we discussed earlier, are going to be the first models to come out, and that will probably release 2 weeks after the October. So probably towards the end of October, we'll see those models until mid-November. I was like, wow. Because I think they have such shortage because the COVID components being made is why they're having to stagger this out, and so they can try to catch up with the demand that they will have for the two devices. Which doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise any of you that this is pretty much what we could expect.
Yeah, and didn't I hear that LiDAR was only coming to the top premium model?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bummer.
You think so?
I feel like delays are to be expected, mm-hmm. like in every aspect of life at this point. It's just going to happen for who knows how long.
And what do you think,
Anna? Yeah, it makes sense that they would roll it out gradually.
Yeah. It's. I really think that's going to play out, especially this late in the game. Now, I mentioned earlier, I said about the iPhone 12, which made me really kind of like, oh, of course you would be doing this. I left a show note in the with this podcast with Renee Ritchie. He has an article that talks about 5G debacle mess that we are going to be facing with the iPhone 12. All models will have the 5G. However, let me explain this. I'm not going to go into technical lingos, but if you want better details, listen to his video of his views of the different 5Gs. Right now, there are two different 5Gs going out on, right? There is the upper frequency and the lower frequency. I'll call them FR1 for frequency one, which is the first lower frequency, and the FR2 is the higher frequency. Depending on the carrier you have, will make a difference on which frequency you will be using with 5G. FR1 obviously is a lower frequency, which means that it will go out further, so you have better range of 5G, but you will have much slower speed. Now, when I say much slower, I mean much slower than if you were had an FR2, which I'll mention in a moment, but it's still 20-30% faster than your 4G speed. So we're still talking pretty darn fast. And then there's carriers that are going to be offered the FR2, the upper tier. And that's the one that you've been hearing about this screaming 1 gigabit kind of a speed, but you got to be in the right alignment and you got to be in the right area, and not all cities will cover it and not all carriers will cover it. Now, I believe two of the three carriers are going to have the FR1. All right, so you got that all in your head. Here comes the mess, and I'm not happy with this. What I'm hearing is that the iPhone 12 lower models will only support the FR1. So you will get FR1 in all carriers, but you will get the slower. If your carrier offers FR2, you have to get the iPhone 12 Pro models to take advantage of the FR2. Is that, I don't know.
I wonder how many people really understand all that. I mean, I get it, but who's going to walk into an Apple store and go, yeah, I want the phone with FR2.
Very few, I think.
Yeah.
That's probably true. I'm probably making a mountain out of a molehill.
And most people aren't going to have access to FR2, it sounds like, even if they have it on their phone. So if FR1 is actually faster than LTE, which is already really fast.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be that big of an issue, especially this year, maybe in a year or two. But if it's really so fiddly that if you're not in direct line of sight, you can't use it. I mean, it just seems like it's not all that practical anyway, that FR2.
At least it's better than Edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all of it's better. Yeah, I remember Edge.
Yeah, back when I was in the military, everything that I did was with radios and frequency ranges and all this kind of stuff. So it's familiar, but at the same time different. And there's just like, it's physics with how this stuff works. And I feel like give it a couple years and like it will consistently get better and better. But I don't think it's not like people aren't choosing to make FR2 like a short range, high power thing and make FR1 way better. It's just how the physics works and the tech can only do so much at this as of right now.
And I agree.
It'll improve. It just takes time.
Well, you know, and that's the problem with the 5G is that there really isn't a set standard at this point, and that's why we have this fragment frequency range and by different carriers. You know, you're not seeing all carriers using the same frequency. They're going to be all over the board. Yeah, I agree with all of you. It's not going to affect a lot of us. Now, I will say for people that are in major cities that can take advantage of FR2, you will have to get the Pro models if you want to take advantage of that. My understanding, too, is that Apple at some point is going to, starting next year model, will only pick only one of those models depending on the country. So if your country only supports FR1, you're only going to get the FR1, even if you have the Pro model, just to, because they want to save money. The money that's going to the chip is very expensive. And it also kind of disappointed me is that, you know, I remember when we got our first 4G phone, I can't remember what series it was, but I remember it was a hog on the battery. My God, it was a bad. And I'm having this huge fear that 5G will do the same because it's so new. And because the expense of this chip for the 5G to put in there, they had to cut some costs back. And so they are going to use a little bit less quality grade and smaller battery sizes on both iPhones. And I was like, oh, no.
Of all the things to cut cost on, you have to go for the battery.
Especially because, like you say, it's probably battery intensive. So the people who are dashing around looking for chargers will be the ones who bought the Pro models, right?
Yeah, like, hey, those 5G people, they're the ones just sprinting from their car to the Starbucks they can plug their phones in because it'll die.
I was thinking, yeah, I'm with you, Mike. Is that the one thing you had to touch? You had to touch the battery. Oh, my God. Yeah. Don't do that. Oh, anyway. Oh,
the external battery pack guys will all be happy about that.
Exactly. I'm with you. I think my next pack or my next case for my iPhone 12 will have to have a battery pack in it, because if it's...
You're going to put it on rollers and roll it behind you.
Well, you know, Apple's going to say, because the new A14 chip they'll put in it will probably be more efficient and it'll probably run just about the same amount of time. But I bet you they're not going to tell you what it's like on call time. I bet that'll be significantly shorter, but we'll have to wait and see on that. So that is everything I know that you can expect in this coming month and when to think the keynote is coming. Obviously, this is all just rumors and speculations. However, I'm kind of leaning towards that they're probably right on that. And to Apple Viz related news, there's two games that came out I would like for you guys to check out. If you're an RPG fan, there is a developer on there that came on for Untold RPG. And I've heard great things about it. There have been a lot of positive comments, and a lot of people are liking that kind of games. It is great when it comes to replays. I'm not an RPG fan at all. I don't really play those games. And I know Randy does not play game at all. And do you play games at all?
Some. I tend to like stuff that you can... that isn't totally mindless, but isn't also doesn't take hours and hours and hours to learn.
Okay.
And I kind of have to stay away a little bit. Like, I tried The Martian and I loved it, except that I got too involved. He seemed too real. So I like games, but I guess I tend to go for more of the word games and stuff.
Okay.
I love the idea of an RPG, but I don't want, if I did one, I would want it to be something I could learn pretty quick and not spend hours on.
Yeah, something that you can pick up quickly and play quickly. And if it's something you can put down and just, but you had a little time waster fun, you had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
I'm going to try it, but I'm kind of an RPG snob. Like, I play D&D, and so I have, I guess, a different set of standards. And I've never found a game yet that even comes close to like what I enjoy. So I'm curious. I'm definitely going to look into it because it is up my alley. But
yeah, I agree with you, Mike. They really don't have a Dungeons and Dragons RPG game. That would be something I would be interested in. It always seems to be one of these kind of a, like, I have to get a gang, or I have to be a thug. I have to be buying weapons and bribes. I'm not into that. And now,
Galactic Empire is
more of a space game where you colonize things, which is kind of cool. But I'm with you. I'd rather have the Dungeon and Dragon RPG.
That'd be fun. I'd like something kind of puzzle based too, where you have to figure out, you know, how to accomplish a quest by figuring out a puzzle or.
Yeah, and that's what I like about D&D is, like, if there is a puzzle, there's, I mean, a million potential solutions based on what you can think of yourself. And that's the part that it's hard to translate into a game.
That's true. Yeah.
You have to program in the solution. You have to try to predetermine what people are going to do and build some kind of answer into it. So it's just a little bit more restrictive, but that's hard to take that, like, tabletop aspect and put it into a digital format and make it
It would be, but it would be dynamite. I would absolutely love it.
I'm going to try it, though.
The other game, I did a podcast earlier this month, and it's called Doing It Right. If you are familiar with Zany Touch, it was one of those games where it tells you, you know, swipe right, swipe left, swipe up, swipe down. And Zany Touch, I love Zany Touch when it comes to my new clients because it kind of taught them the gestures, make sure they're doing the gestures correctly. Like sometimes swiping would be a little difficult for some people. And this made it a game to kind of make it a little fun. However, Doing It Right is kind of like Zany Touch plus. It's like it add more difficulties to it. And I love it because it'll say, not up. And so it's like, not up. So that means just physically swipe anywhere direction, but not up. And sometimes it'll go, not up, not up, or not up. And that means you need to do up. So it's like the opposite. So it makes you think, and it's so hard. Or they'll say, not up, not left. And it's like, okay, so it's not up. So I need to swipe down, not left, then swipe right. And then it gets into the sounds, and then it gets to colors. I think it's phenomenal. I thought it was great, and I absolutely had a blast. Now this sounds like maybe what you would like, Anna.
Yeah, I haven't tried it because I've played Zany Touch and stuff, and it kind of sounded like, you know, similar sort of thing. But that is kind of cool that it gets more challenging as it goes. I might have to try that one.
Oh, believe me, it'll mess your mind up. It really, because you got to listen hard. And if you don't do it, and you have to do it quickly, that's not something you could just sit there and just pause for a minute. Which direction? It's like, oh, you keep redoing it over and over. My mind
is messed up enough as it is, though, Tom. I don't know.
That's okay, Randy. We still love you for that.
That's good.
That's why
I'm going to try it because I liked Zany Touch a lot when iOS was younger.
I'd be curious if you think that would be something your new clients. I know you do training too. If that would be something that you would suggest your
I think I would, and I'm going to give it a shot.
Good for you. And then Mike, it's not RPG, so I'm guessing. Nah.
I probably will, just because I also like fast paced things like that. I mean, you have to just make a snap decision and try it. I'm going to give it a shot.
I like it because there's stages. Once you complete stage, then you just do that stage that you got stuck on. You can go over and over and over. So I like that. So you don't have to do the whole thing over.
Oh, you don't have to start at the beginning.
Mm-mm, no, that so any touch cool. You have to do the whole thing over. This one has stages, so I like that a lot.
I do too. It's like I played that blind sorcerer game. You know, the blind legend one where you had to fight.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was kind of fun, except you had to listen to the whole, you know, level that he did with his, you know, before you could do the fight and move on. And I just, it's like, once you've heard it once or twice or three times, you really don't care about that anymore.
Exactly. So I think that was a brilliant move by the developers, leaving stage marks like that. So you can just proceed on where you left off, which I love. And one last thing before we head and zip this up, Dave Nason, one of our Apple Viz editorial member, actually sent me a note about last month and Leash, and he made a good point. I mentioned about how I was kind of unimpressed by the new silicon chip that Apple's going to come out with their Mac, and how they kind of did a speed check on it, see what it would be level with. And it was kind of below what I thought. And he made a good point. He says, well, Thomas, is that is with the A12 or A13 chips. Now, you got to remember the A14 chip is coming around in the corner with iPhone 12. And he is absolutely right. It will probably support the A14, which is supposed to be 30% faster. So in that case, I will be very curious how the benchmark works on that speed, and I bet it would make into making the MacBook Air probably worth having. I still don't think it's going to be anywhere near that MacBook Pro, but we'll see. That's just my two cents. But thank you for Dave for not only listening, but also giving me the feedback. And for all the other listeners, if you have any feedbacks or thoughts or suggestions, always send us an email at unleashed@applevis.com. And thank you so much Anna, for coming on, and also thank you for being a Club AppleViz member. It was a pleasure in having you on today.
Thank you. It was really fun to be here.
Great. You had some great insights, and I really enjoyed some of the things you had to say. And so thank you so much for all that. And Mike and Randy, you too, you guys take care. I know that Mike is probably going to see fall a lot quicker than we are in the Northern Hemisphere. Who knows? Yep. He'll probably have snow before we have our next
cast. I'll tell you, it's getting down into the 60s here. So by this weekend. So we're starting to see it.
I'm excited. Yeah, we got the hot tub up and running. We're just waiting for the weather to cooperate.
Yeah, get your boots out, get your shovel. Well,
like I told you, Mike, if you get your internet connection speed up and the hot tub included, I'm coming over.
Make some room.
we'll all come over and we'll just broadcast right out of your house.
Yeah,
we'll just
podcast from your hot tub. Yeah.
Yeah. That way we won't have any lag issue. It was just like we'll be right there.
Perfect.
You don't worry about the bubble sounds. That's our bubble just bath. We have in the hot tub.
I'll start looking into waterproof microphones too.
Oh, that's right.
Just in case.
Hey, then that give me an excuse why I have to get a new microphone. Well, thank you for all the listeners. If you're new to Unleash, thank you so much for giving this cast a listen. I hope to have you on for more shows. And for those that have been listening to Unleash, thank you again for coming on. My name is Thomas Donville. And I also go by the name Anonymous. Until next time, goodbye.
This AppleViz podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleViz.com.